Steve, thanks for having me on. It's always nice to be with you, and it is certainly better than sitting around watching everybody else play.
Yeah, you got that right. Exactly. All right, so when the door opened to get back, what did you see from your team? How did you have to handle the return as a coach, especially in a back-to-back situation game-wise?
You know, I think everyone's is different based on the rules they have for coming out of quarantine and things like that. For us, the biggest challenge was that not only were they down for and really not able to do a whole lot for 2 weeks other than some workouts in their rooms and things like that, we only had 2 days of practice where we did any 5-on-5, and we limited that to kind of 30 minutes a day so that we wouldn't get anyone caught. If something did happen, we'd have to shut down again. So that was the biggest challenge, was just getting kind of your back on your feet and getting gameplay. It's hard enough to replicate that as it is, but to really kind of be limited in numbers was the big challenge. And so we obviously were trying to win the games, but we also wanted to make sure that we just kind of got back in flow.
I know in announcing it, when I've had to announce either Penn State returning or somebody else returning, we kind of looked at it as a player. You know, you and I have seen the player has an injury, he's out. That first game back, they've got adrenaline. Then the second game, because they haven't really, you know, because game shape is different than even practice shape, that the second game, it's just not quite there. Did you see that from your team where there was some adrenaline in the first game, and then the second game, it's like, feel like quicksand?
I think a little bit. I think that obviously playing at home at first helped, and that you got a more comfortable feeling. You're not getting on a bus and going down, but then getting on the bus and actually going down, having, like you said, again, playing back-to-back is hard as it is. It's harder when you haven't done a whole lot in a while. And so I thought our guys did a good job of trying to fight through it, and they played as hard as they could, and we just couldn't quite get it done.
Which then brings me to the next part. Usually when that happens, usually the third game, they've got everything back in gear. Have you seen a difference practice-wise this week, Nathan, because they had those two games and they're more back into a, quote, some sort of groove?
I think so. I think that we've certainly been better this week than we were last week. It also helps that the four guys we missed have been back full go. I mean, knock on wood, that hopefully nothing will happen between now and Saturday to change that.
Yeah, right.
But they have been, and so I think our depth and the way we're able to practice has been better. There's no doubt about it. So hopefully it'll carry over to Saturday.
You know, you mentioned all the back-to-backs that you've had to play, Nathan, along the way. That's also limited the schedule because they tried to limit the travel. So what's that like, having to do that every weekend where it's a back-to-back?
You know, it's certainly been different. I feel like early on going into the season, I actually talked to a bunch of football coaches about how they approach the full week, because that's just not something you do in basketball very often.
Right.
And it's certainly been different playing back-to-back. You typically don't see that until a tournament or until tournament times in most senses of this. But you ask our guys, they'd much rather play Saturday and Sunday than practice one of those days. So there's good and bad with it all.
For you, leadership is always going to be important to get anybody through any of this. Who have been a couple of guys that have really been leaders that you've looked at and try to help negotiate a team through something like this?
You know, I think one of the great things about being here is we got a lot of guys like that. I think our three seniors have been good. I think that our juniors have been around with Andrew Funk and Walter Ellis have been good. But I think really a guy that's stepped up big time has been Alexander Rice in the last few weeks, as far as being vocal, being positive, talking to guys. I think they've done a great job of trying to keep everyone engaged. And it's just hard. Like, I think it's hard for anyone to understand. And like, obviously everyone's got issues right now. It's not it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. There's certainly struggles with COVID and things going on. But when you've got 18 or 22-year-old guys sitting in a hotel room for 2 weeks not able to do anything or see anyone, that can be a very mentally challenging for them. And I think those guys have done a good job of trying to keep everybody together.
How isolated have – even when you've been playing, how isolated are you from the rest of the campus? I mean, is this something where – you go on the road, it's a box, you know, hey, look, it's grab-and-go box breakfast, it's grab-and-go box lunch. Is that the way it's been for you?
Yeah, I mean, our guys are intermingled with the rest of the student body. They're not separated at all.
Okay.
But within that, there is separation going on. The school's doing really trying hard to limit contact with people. Some classes are in person, some are not. It's up to professors. The first semester, the dining hall wasn't open for anything but grab and go. Now you can go in smaller groups and eat. So it's changed a little bit, but they're really trying to isolate. And our guys have been really good about it too, like understanding they got a distance, number of people in the locker room, things like that at the same time. So it's certainly been a different experience for everyone, especially for a freshman that's never been to college before. It's really hard for them.
Here's the other part that's been tough. You actually you crafted a 4-game winning streak. What did things had started to feel like they were falling into place a little bit that suddenly the pause made you concerned it would take it away?
Well, you know, I don't think it's overly complicated. I thought early in the year, so our first 4 games we lost, we're playing without our best player, John Meeks.
Right.
Played the first 2 games without one of our best wings, Miles Latimer, who transferred in. So we have a really young team. And we go on the road and play Navy, and then come home and play Navy, and then we play Lafayette on the home and road, and both those teams. Navy had already played, I think, 10 games by that point. They were allowed to play non-conference. But the big thing was I thought both of those teams had a majority or really all of their guys back kind of in the same role. And we got a whole bunch of guys playing new roles. And then, again, you're playing without John Meeks. That didn't help. I thought his return gave us a ton of confidence. Our role started to become better defined. And we were playing really well. I thought we were playing as well as anyone in the league. I mean, we'd only beaten Lehigh, but we beat them 4 times handily. I thought we were playing as well as anyone in the league when we went into the shutdown. And then coming out again, it's the same thing. You're looking at you could be down for 14 days. How long is it going to take you to get back? Our return to play rules here are different than some other places. So we had some other guys, the 4 guys that actually we ended up having testing positive, were out for even longer. We're going to come back. And so you're just trying to manage it to get to the point where you can compete to win. And I think that we have the ability to win the tournament, but we're going to have to play well.
And Meeks, by the way, in 3 of those games, 3 straight, had 86 points. That doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't.
In the least. 86 points in 3 games. Right? I'm no expert. I think it's pretty good.
Pretty good. He's a dynamic offensive player. He can score inside, outside. He can create for others. And I think one of the things that had been lost is he's a very good defensive player. He came back in great shape. He can guard the ball, move his feet, guard multiple positions. So it gives us even more versatility defensively what we're doing. And like I said, he's kind of the alpha dog. Our guys feed off him. He gives them his presence just gives them an aura of confidence that you can just see. And so having him back is a big help.
John, really, those scores within the framework of the offense, how much does it help that he's the kind of guy that, hey, if you need me to do this on a given night, I'll do it. If you need me to score on a given night, I'll do it. What does that mean to a coach that you have somebody with that kind of attitude?
Well, I think it sets a tone for your entire team. Everyone's going to need at some point to step up and help you in different ways. And some days it might be scoring. Some days it might be defensively. Some days, you know, it might be assists, rebounding, what have you. And when your really best player is doing that, it's hard for other guys not to follow along.
All right, how have you felt about your point guard play to this point, running this offense, getting it to be played the way you want it to be played?
I think Xander has been outstanding. He's been playing the majority there. He started all 10 games. I mean, obviously, as a freshman, he didn't play a ton. But this year, like, he's shooting 51% from the floor, 43 from three, 78 from the free throw line, and has 24 more assists and turnovers. So he's been doing a pretty good job for us. So I've been really pleased with where he is. He's come along nicely, and I think the best for him is yet to come.
This is a big-picture question for a moment. Will Brown, for example, at Albany, who had gone to the NCAA tournament 5 times, turned out that, you know, Albany decided not to renew him. Now, he had the Cremo kid who transferred to Villanova. He had the Nichols kid who transferred to Florida State. How tough is it on your level that when you do get a couple of guys that really can play, and I know you helped them out. It's not like you didn't help Nate Sestini, you didn't help Jimmy Sotos, you did. But how tough is it on this level when somebody does have that ability to go, and they do go, and you've got to replenish that?
Well, I think it's certainly a different challenge in that, you know, and just with the way – it's just the way the game is now and the way college basketball is now. And I think it's pretty obvious that at some point this year the rule is going to officially change so that you don't have to sit out when you transfer, which can open up even more. But it's just a new reality you got to deal with. And so you've always got to be thinking ahead, planning ahead, trying to make sure you've got a lot of depth, that you keep appraised and up to date on who's going to be available, who's still available in high school, late dates to try to replenish your roster. But I think the one thing we have here is, like I said, we've got a great educational institution. We've got a group that – a place where you can compete to win every year. So it's going to take a pretty special player for somebody to want to leave here.
Right. No, I understand that along the way. Is there any part of you that feels like you have to re-recruit a team, or is that just standard operation for you?
You know, it's interesting. We've been talking about that a little bit, and I do think, to an extent, you're going to have to spend more time kind of doing that and laying out the vision of what's going to happen next year and moving forward and how we're going to get you to be as good as you can be, where we see the team going. I think you're going to have to be doing more of that. There's no doubt about it.
Andrew Funk, by the way, who's your second leading scorer, was named to the Academic All-Patriot League team for the second straight year. What does that tell everyone about him, and also how both components are so important at a program like Bucknell?
Well, I think it obviously says a lot about him and his priorities, and that he knows that basketball and the education are what he's here for. So it's very important. He emphasizes those. Certainly he enjoys himself socially, but he understands what he came here for and what he needs to do to be successful down the road. And I think the biggest thing it does as a program is especially when we get out recruiting, we say, look, you want to play at the highest level, you want to get your education, this is the place you can do it. And we're not just talking about it. We've got examples, and he's the most recent one of those.
All right, it's one-and-done time. It's playoff time. You've got Lafayette. It's been a while since you played Lafayette. What do you like about the matchup in this?
Well, I think one thing we have, especially if we're fully healthy, is we've got guys on the floor that can score and defend. We've got versatile guys defensively, and so we present problems for people. We got multiple guys that can score inside and out. We got multiple guys that can create shots. We have multiple guys we can throw in the post. And so I think it gives us an advantage in a lot of instances, and that we can try to take advantage of matchups. And like I said, with Meeks and some of our other guys, with their size and athleticism, we can change up defensive things a lot and really try to help each other out to make it tough on other teams to score.
All right, you probably don't notice the crowd anyway when you're coaching and there's a full house and they're going crazy because you're locked in. But have any of the players talked to you about the fact that it's been empty gyms when they've played, and whether it's had any effect on them?
You know, they haven't really said anything about having an effect, but there's no doubt it's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird when you go in, there's no one cheering, and the only crowd noise you get is kind of the fake noise. It's a lot like every game in a lot of ways. It's like the preseason scrimmages we have that you're not supposed to publicize. It's kind of that atmosphere,
yeah,
and you got to
right.
bring your own energy and those types of
yeah.
things. But at the end of the day, you're still trying to win championships, hang banners, and so I haven't noticed any difference in the intensity or anything like that, but it certainly is kind of a different feeling.
Yeah, I took a picture that I think that says it all. Thanksgiving weekend, I did a football game at Michigan, and I took the picture from the broadcast location of 111,000 empty seats. It was very different.
Very surreal. It's certainly weird.
Yeah, it is. It's also great to have you back on the show, Nathan. Thanks so much for the time. Good luck against Lafayette in the quarterfinals.
All right. Thanks for having me.